I saw them. I saw the patterns. I saw the patterns. Not like a supernatural ability no one else has. Not like reading the signs and the stars and listening to the universe around you. That's ridiculous. Improbable. I just pay attention. I see the things that other people miss. Patterns and actions based on patterns. That's what matters. I saw things and I did something about it. Though I think what I did may have been wrong. I've been doing some math today. Timelines get warped when you're dealing with this kind of thing, but I crunched some numbers, and what I've come up with is that I've been gone for about 8 months, more or less. It gets tricky when you try to factor in an entire different universe, an entire different timeline. But for people on this side of things, that's how long it was, more or less. Though, it didn't feel like that long. It felt like staying up all night. When you start to get a little cross-eyed and tired and all the seconds go faster than they should. Kind of like you're wading through mud and there's no end in sight. Really, it didn't feel a lot like anything. When you're walking where other people just haven't, you aren't thinking about time. Time doesn't really matter when you're traveling somewhere you don't belong. Not a lot does matter. You know, I used to think the Institute was impressive. Something so much bigger than home or Earth or most places I'd been back then. Not just the building, but all the ideas, too. All the things that you have at your fingertips, supposedly. And the information you're supposed to be able to access, but it's nothing. No, it's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's its own little world designed to make you think you're learning things that you really aren't. You know how they stick lab rats in little mazes and let them run around until they find something they like? That's what this is. It's a controlled environment made by people or things who want to understand how the world looks from our tiny little perspectives here on the ground. So, well, knowing a maze is really only half of it. You have to know how to solve it or break your way out. And that's hard when you don't have any perspective. Right now we think we can fight back. That's the whole idea here, what we're trying to put together right now. I don't know if we can. It's stupid to try to fight something you don't know or understand, or to solve puzzles when you don't really know what results you need. It's stupid to think you can touch something that isn't even on the same level as you. When the ancients talked about gods, they had sort of the right idea. You have these things that are higher than you. Things with powers you don't understand, and you know what you do with them? Well, you don't try to fight them. You keep your head down and hope they don't blast you. Not because they're all powerful, they're just a little more complicated than you. So, right now, I'm just sitting in this hallway right here. Part of it's avoiding talking about the problem. They want me to have explanations for it, and I don't yet. But the other part of it is just being alone. I need that sometimes. I've been in this hallway a million times before, and I've never seen it totally empty. 8 months ago, maybe, I asked a question in this hallway, and I got an answer. They listened, kind of like I hoped they would. Though I didn't anticipate the whole being dragged away thing, but at least I got their attention. I knew I wasn't going to get that unless, well, I poked the beast a little. Big questions painted on the wall tend to piss things off, even when those things are other dimensional beings. Though looking at it now, well, you really wouldn't know I painted it right here. It's a white wall again, and I haven't seen this much white for about 8 months. It's bright, empty, and there's not a lot to it. I'm really hoping that helps me get some work done. Color is a big part of what I do, or what I did before. This is the first thing I've done since I got back. I used to like mixing colors. Sometimes things look like they should clash, but then they don't. Sometimes they make more sense than you would think. I liked getting people's attention, making them all see the little details. People like pretty pictures. But I don't have to get anybody's attention right now or make them look today. I'm just trying to break up the white here. Turns out, colors just make my head hurt. I was going to try to do something creative on this white wall here, you know, symbolic, since I've painted here before. I found my paints in my old room that they apparently didn't clean out, and I looked at them for a long, long time before I realized something. I just don't like most colors that much anymore. So, I went with purple. You kind of assume that you'll be sick of the color purple, when that's the color of your whole world for 8 months. Actually, what happens is that you just adjust to it. Things don't look normal unless they're in purple anymore. This makes me feel closer, more familiar. I'm less paranoid, I'm less itching to get back. Maybe if I'm around enough purple, it'll fill in some of those memory gaps that just won't go away. And that's another thing. These memory gaps. Holes where I know things belong. I don't know if it's the trauma of coming back after so long or just the experiences from another universe that I just can't translate here. Or both. Or just something we don't understand. I don't know. Because what I do remember is a nice, blurry soup of course, being able to remember something about our friends from another dimension would be helpful right about now, considering I'm the only one who's been there for long enough to have any useful information. Hell, no one else has helped them cross over to our dimension in larger quantities either, as far as I know, which is just great. Earlier, Jude asked me what I did remember from my time there. I was supposed to remember things. That was the whole point. I go on the inside and I start to put things together, learn some information that'll make it easier to fight back. And all I could tell him was that I remembered purple. Some little flashes of moments, bits and pieces. I talked to them, somehow. And they talked back to me. I was in communications with a species from another dimension, and I don't remember how I did it. Not like that would be useful right now, of course. Do you know how to solve a language gap between dimensions? I did. Which means they're smart. Which means they told me things. They listened to me and wanted my help. And I must have understood that, because I gave it to them. I just need a way to fill in these gaps. If I can do that, I can start following the patterns again, getting us out of this maze. I can get a clear picture of what they want, how they work, and how we can maybe stop them if what they want isn't good. I can finish this. It's on me, anyway. Jude told me that flat out this morning. Trish, on the other hand, told me that I needed to get rest and that I looked tired. But she's thinking it too, and she's angry about it. I should probably do something about that. I really can't afford to lose her. And I can't afford to lose Jude. Not on this. But the more that I tell them, the more they get that look. The one where they're edging away from me. Because it's insane. It's illogical. I don't have the answers, and I don't know how to get them, and that's weird. But they weren't. They weren't there with me, right? They didn't do that. They didn't see the things I saw. They didn't experience whatever I experienced. Trish was there for a moment, but not long enough to really process anything. Not the way that I must have. All they have is a very basic outline. And that's enough to make anybody upset. They're convinced we need to take those things out. And it looks that way, so I don't blame them. It's human nature. Things don't make sense and we have to survive at all costs. So we take those things out. But I talked with those things. Things from another world. If I can do it again, that's humans in communication with an entirely new species. And we don't have a way to know what they want. So everything that happens now could be some kind of miscommunication, with no way for them to explain themselves. And the second we start hitting them with sticks again, it's over. They'll wipe us out, and we'll never know. And you try explaining to Trish that we need to take our time and be careful here. You know, for right now, I can play the lunatic. I can sit here and paint on the walls and try to get my memory back. But we don't have all the time in the world. I've got to do something. I just don't know if it's what they want me to do, or if it's the color they'll like.
I really hate Jude. Okay, that's not true. Mostly. It's a slight exaggeration, but I'm really frustrated with Jude. I just don't understand why he has to argue every single point. I don't understand why he has to disagree with everything I say. Is it really so difficult to just compromise on some things? Every time I bring something up, he comes up with some reason why it's stupid or why it doesn't make sense, or he just asks Milo about it instead. Ugh, I'm getting really tired of it. This whole thing is difficult enough already. We've had another ship come in, so that's more people who want to know what's going on. Who want to know how they can help, and I don't know how anyone can help right now. I don't know what we're doing. Somehow we have to pull ourselves together and, you know, not get destroyed by the aliens from another dimension. Right now, it's pretty much looking like we're all going to die. That's pessimistic. And stupid, but someone called me Captain Odessa earlier, and I don't know how to handle that. I kind of thought Milo would take Ender back once he got back, but he hasn't even tried to. And I don't want to bring it up. Not right now. It kind of seems like he has a lot to deal with. Still, I'm not the captain. I don't know how to do that. I definitely don't know how to be in charge of all this. All I did was hit one creepy thing with a stick, and everyone decided that I'm the best person for the job. They keep asking me what these things look like. What do they do? How dangerous are they? How can we fight them? It's almost like people are excited about this. And I really don't know how to explain that it's not a game. It's not a test anymore. It's real. School is over. We have to do something that actually matters now. Sticks aren't going to help with anything, and it doesn't mean I'm qualified. Ugh. We sent our signal out a few days ago. Only a few ships have responded so far, and that was early on. It's been about 2 days since we've had any more messages, and Jude isn't having any luck getting through to anyone else. His theory is that the Institute is jamming our signals. He thinks they're isolating us until they can do something about it. And we're just a handful of kids stuck in our old school with minimal power and no contact to the outside world. I don't know, maybe they're trying to wear us down. Or they're putting something together to take care of the situation. Either way, it's too quiet here. There's plenty of things to do in a school this big, but things tend to go downhill fast when you don't actually have classes. People talk, or wander, or sleep. Mostly, they worry. It's hard not to worry. I've been sleeping in my old dorm room. It's weird. We're not even a part of the school anymore, really, and there's tons of room. But most people just sleep in the same rooms they used to sleep in. Even though it shouldn't matter. All the rooms look the same, but there's something comforting, I guess, about knowing I've been in this room before. None of the girls I shared with are back here, so it's just me. Bouncing around in there. All quiet. I spend most of my time in the main offices. Jude has set up in the communications offices, trying to keep track of everything with the tech he can access there. And Milo? Well, Milo wanders around a lot. I'm worried about him. I mean, I know this kind of thing changes you. If you spend a long time in an alien world, you probably aren't going to be the same, but it's different when it actually happens. When you're actually talking to the person again. He used to talk a lot more when it was just us, you know? He used to have things to say. Now I just ramble until I feel stupid, and he doesn't seem to hear most of the time. He's always distracted. He hardly ever draws or paints, and when he does, it's the same things. Trees with swooping branches, and puddles, waves of grass, murky figures with lots of legs that might be something familiar. Never with any colors, though. Milo loves color. He likes experimenting with patterns. Not anymore, I guess. I'm trying not to be bitter. I'm trying to give him time. I want him to be back in charge. But he's not okay, and I don't know how to help with that. How do you help with that? Do you just... I have lots of things to think about. Like, the fact that pretty soon here, I'm gonna have to try and get people organized. Not my strong suit. Instead of any of that, I end up thinking about my family back home. Lots of people are thinking about that, and talking about it too. We don't know what they think is happening. During the Bright Eyes Project, you aren't supposed to be in communication with the outside, so as far as they know, we're just doing the same thing and everything is fine. How would they know anything else? Jude's working on that signal too. Maybe we can get help. And tell someone so it's not just a bunch of kids trying to fix this all on our own. You know, he keeps saying stuff like that, getting help. But more and more, I'm starting to think we're on our own here. Whatever happens, we'll have to fix it ourselves. No one else is coming. Sooner or later, someone else is gonna have to tell people that. Gosh, guess who will end up having to do that, too?
Maybe people will just let me do my job. You know what? No, that's probably too much to ask for. Jude's just here for you to give him instructions and ask why he's not working fast enough, that's all. He doesn't have any actual thoughts about the situation. Milo should be able to put in a good word for you, you say. That would be true if Milo wasn't off... Where is Milo? Sulking again. I bet he's sulking again. Nothing better to do around here. Oh, except figure out what we're going to do about this entire alien race that wants to destroy us. Does that sound aggressive? I think it might sound aggressive. You'd be aggressive too if you'd been working at this for days and no one appreciated you for it. They're cutting us off. There's no other explanation for it. All this equipment is working fine, yeah? Everything's up to date. Everything's in top order. This is probably where they sat while they ordered us around in our little ships and watched everything we're doing. But this... Black screen. Nothing to do about it. See this? No signals. Nothing gets through. this is what you do when you want to make people afraid and then wipe them out. You isolate them from everyone else. It's fairly simple, actually. We send out a signal. Everyone, our school wants to destroy us. Our school, however they're seeing it, realizes that we're spreading the message. And they don't like it. So they cut the cord. We're sitting ducks. And I'm in here trying to get a signal out when in all likelihood, that's not going to happen. It's honestly a miracle they haven't shut off life support yet. So, I'm thinking they don't want us dead. You know, I'm not the person to be speculating on this. This isn't my job. I don't look at alien life forms and poke at them and decide what they're here for. Or try to talk to them. None of that. That's Milo's job. Or it was his job. And that didn't go so well. Or Maddie's. Or you know what? Maybe it's Trish's job. She's the one that hit it with a stick. But no, this gets stuck on Jude just like everything else does, digging us out of an impossible situation. I should just go ahead and tell them that if we keep sitting here, we're all dead. I bet they'd like that. So you're saying we're all gonna die, Jude? Oh no, what can we do about that? I'd really like to not die in a horrible, agonizing, twitching way when the life support runs out and we're all slowly drained of our air. Great question. I'm glad you asked. We get out of here. It's that simple, really. We load up the Ender. We load up the other ship we've got. We get supplies, weapons, whatever we can put together. From here, we launch ourselves back into space and we take our chances somewhere that isn't essentially an enemy base. Those ships have weapons. Real ones, I bet. Why aren't we using them? Why are we stuck in one place? This seemed fairly obvious a few days ago. Maybe we haven't taken enough time to sit around and talk about it. Trish seems to be under some kind of delusion that we should wait and gather more people, and Milo's off writing poetry about alien worlds or whatever he's doing, and no one's putting me in charge. So here we are. It keeps coming back to that. Something's got to be done, but we don't know what. Are we going to do anything about it? No, which begs the question, how long can we sit here before something happens? Not long, I'll bet you anything. Not long. Not that anyone would believe me.
I miss the stars. I can get used to everything else, maybe. I can live in a world that's all one glowing color. I can live with little things like disgust and confusion. But I grew up out there with the stars. There's nothing to look up at here. There are no constellations, nothing to chart out in the sky to remind you that wherever you are, some things are constant. But nothing is constant here. The landmarks constantly change. Noises appear and reappear and then fade back into memories you don't have. I should need to eat soon, but I never do. There's nothing up there in the sky to follow. Just one big violet mass, barely even a change in hues. I wish I could study it. I wish I could see how it works. By all accounts, it shouldn't. It's a dream world constructed by something far from us. It's a clumsy copy of the worlds that do exist to us. Everything has an answer. Everything. I keep telling myself that. But just because you have an answer doesn't mean you understand what that answer is. Sometimes. Sometimes you don't have the information to put it together into something coherent. Sometimes, dream worlds stay dream worlds. So I just wonder if I'm going to wake up. None of this is relevant, though. It's more like a distraction. I'd really rather not think about what I'm doing because I don't remember what I'm doing. That's the problem with dreams, or things that feel like dreams. You don't know where you've been or how you got to where you are now. There are gaps. I was somewhere before, and I was afraid. But I can't see it when I close my eyes. I think I might be running. I think I might be trying to get away. I don't know from what, though, other than something faceless and frightening. I don't think there's anywhere to go here, not when everything is constantly shifting around me. So I must not have a plan. That's not like me. Strange. I have a plan for everything. You don't jump into anything head-on. That's why you have a hypothesis. A control group. Little things in place so you know where you're going and what you want to achieve. None of this wandering on strange planets trying to escape from something you can't remember. I don't think that's possible. There's a cut on my arm. It was bleeding before. I think it's stopped now. I have a big red gash that won't stop hurting. I don't remember where it came from, but I remember pain. I don't like that. I want to know that I'm running towards something, if I'm running away from something else. I want to know that I'm going to get out of here and be safe. I want to know that the dream is going to stay a dream. I don't want any part of it anymore. I have no control. It's not an experiment. It's not exploration. It's just running. I think I'd like someone to find me now.
Bright Eyes is written by Amy Meester and produced by Amy Meester, Sydney Fontaine, and Cyrus Fontaine. The voice of Trish Odessa is Sydney Fontaine. The voice of Milo Nielsen is Wyatt Hammond. The voice of Maddie Ryan is Carly Racklin. The voice of Jake Ford is Jake Romano. And the voice of Jude Brogan is Cyrus Fontaine. Original soundtrack by Cyrus Fontaine. To keep up with the cast and crew, follow us on Twitter. All links will be in the description. Finally, consider supporting us on Patreon for exclusive behind-the-scenes content, artwork, music downloads, and more. Just follow the link in the description. To learn more about the podcast and its creators, visit us on the web at brighteyespodcast.wixsite.com/brighteyes.